WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit, your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights.
This is Radio Bollywood, broadcast every Friday here at WNZK Radio, 690 AM, hosted by syndicated columnist Ray Hanania and Layla Al-Husseini. Get information on show guests and topics by visiting RadioBollywood.com. We want to hear your views. Call in during the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Bollywood.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 on the dial. Our number is 248-557-3300. 248-557-3300. We're going to be talking about the Middle East. We're waiting for one of our guests to call in, Ali Younis, who's based in Washington, D.C. He's a syndicated columnist. So he'll help us chew the fat and talk about some of the different issues that are taking place in the Middle East. One of the most interesting this morning is the report that Israel has supposedly, at the urging of President Barack Obama, you know it's all about politics, was trying to get the Syrians and the Israelis together. Now that's interesting and disturbing. You know, as an Arab and Palestinian. And I'll tell you why. Because the Syrians reportedly were willing to make peace with the Israelis just over the Golan Heights. So all this talk about how they really care about how the Assad regime cares about the Palestinians is just not true. But the other interesting aspect is about Israel, which is more important because, you know what, the Assad regime isn't going to be around very long. So it really doesn't matter what they do or they don't do. But what is interesting is about Israel. The fact is that Israel doesn't make peace while it's in peace and in control. And what I mean by that is when there's no conflict, the Israelis have no rush to negotiate peace deals with anybody. The only reason they were even willing to discuss peace with the Syrians is because the Israelis want to use that against the Iranians. And if the Iranians weren't threatening Israel, then they wouldn't even consider making peace with Syria. So you understand it has nothing to do with making peace at all. It has everything to do with their interests. And their interests are basically to push their political agenda. That's all they care about. They don't care about peace. It's pretty obvious. 248-557-3300. Some interesting things happening in Egypt also. A lot of the old regime leaders are being released by President Morsi in Egypt. And that's upset a lot of the Egyptian protesters. Although I wonder how long that can continue. If they're not guilty of something, they're not guilty. I don't know. It's hard to say whether Egyptian democracy is real democracy or is President Morsi just another dictator waiting to happen. You know, we won't know until election time comes up. We won't know until they have to elect a new president and whether Morsi will allow it. Hopefully, real democracy is taking place in Egypt, and we'll see. Our number again, 248-557-3300, if you want to buzz and give us a call and talk to us about any of these issues. We're going to do an open topic today. Last week we did a great interview with Mon Arakat, the ambassador of the Palestine in Washington, D.C., from the PLO. That podcast got a lot of listens. A lot of people emailed me on that. I want to thank you. You can go to our website at RadioBallady.com, and you can download all those podcasts that we post there. I want to thank our advertisers and sponsors, Zied Brothers Importing at Zied.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the Law Offices of Attorney Stephen Lagana, American Muslim Center, the Law Offices of Jemana K. Ruse, JemanaKRuse.com, MC Gold TV, Sabil Media at sabilmedia.com, and of course the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Their website is wrmea.org. Good Morning Michigan is one of our partners, and they're broadcast Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. by Layla El Hosseini right here at NZK AM 690. And we're broadcast live, all of the programs here at Radio Baladine, Good Morning Michigan with Layla. We're broadcast live on Radio Aramica. You can listen to our broadcast by dialing in on your cell phone at 712-432-8008, 712-432-8008. If you're listening to us on the cell phone, give us a buzz and let us know how that sounds and where you're at. It's broadcast all over the country, not just in the Detroit region. A lot of listeners in Chicago, we want to welcome them and urge them to call too if you want to share your opinion. We respect everybody's opinion here, even if I don't agree, but you'll know it. 248-557-3300 is our number. I think what we'll do is we'll take our first break here at Radio Ballady, and when we come back, we'll take some of your calls at 248-557-3300. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hopefully talk more about some of the Middle East issues taking place in the news and talk with you about some of the issues out there. 248-557-3300. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Jake's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sully at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil, and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org. Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Ballady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending on get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Ballady. That's 617-283-1018.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady here at WNZK AM 690. It is Friday morning, October 12th. And 9 minutes after the top of the hour, you give us a buzz at 248-557-3300. I was just reading a couple stories this morning. The Anti-Defamation League pulled out of interfaith talks with Christian leaders in the United States because the Christian leaders criticized Israel, and some of them called for a unified demand that the United States stop funding Israel. Of course, you know, we give Israel, I don't know how many billions. It's hard to get the truth out of Congress. $3 billion, $5 billion a year. I think $3 billion is a grant. $2 billion is in loans. Some of it is military. A lot of it is just money right out of your pocket. You work real hard every day, and that money just goes right out. The government doesn't care. When they need money, they take it from you. But when Israel calls, boy, they give them all the money they need, everything. And when one or two Christian groups, and we're not just talking about Presbyterians, we're talking about the Protestants, stand up and say, you know, Israel shouldn't be getting this money. The Anti-Defamation League, which is supposed to be about standing up to bigotry and anti-Semitism and civil rights, stands up and becomes a political organization that it really is, because it doesn't care about any of those real issues when it involves Israel. Because if it cared about discrimination, it would be criticizing Israel. But the ADL, especially in New York with that Abe Foxman, is a anti-American organization that is all about defending Israel. And when you bring up Israel, they go bananas. The Anti-Defamation League goes crazy. And they will say and do anything and accuse you of being anti-Semitic and everything. And so I applaud them. You know, the critics and the leaders of the Protestant Church, the some of the Catholic groups and the Presbyterian groups who've stood up to the State of Israel and demanded that the U.S. government withdraw funding, because anybody in their right mind knows that Israel isn't supporting peace. All they're doing is promoting hatred. All they're doing is promoting war, and they're going to steal all that Christian land. They're going to take all that. And that's what upsets me all the time, because Christians are so dumb in this country. And I'm a Christian. I'm Orthodox, but I was raised Protestant because we didn't have an Orthodox church in Chicago when I was a kid. So I went to the Protestant church. I was actually raised Lutheran, which is part of the Protestant religion. And it's amazing how dumb Christian Americans are. They're just not very educated. You know, they pray to Jesus, and, you know, and they look toward Bethlehem. They don't even know that Bethlehem is under military siege by the Israelis, occupied by Israel. Its lands are being stolen by Israel. Its lands and its people are being pushed out by Israel. The very descendants of Jesus, the original descendants in the original birthplace of Jesus, are being abused and harassed and oppressed by Israel, and they don't do anything. But of course, you know, Thanksgiving will be coming, and they'll be putting up, American Christians will be putting up their little pictures of Jesus in Bethlehem on their walls, going, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how much we love thee." And they'll be singing all those little happy songs, and, you know, and cheering with all their eggnog and everything. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, "What are you guys, crazy? Bethlehem is under siege. And you're just acting like it." You know, they don't even think Bethlehem exists. They, you know, it's like amazing, you know, American Christians in this country, they just are, they're the most educated people in the world, but the least educated about the world. Let's go to Khalid on line one at 248-557-3300. Your voice, any topic. You don't have to talk about the topics I'm talking about, but I'd like to hear what you have to say about anything that's happening in the Middle East or in our community. Khalid, welcome to Radio Ballady.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? Are you Christian by any chance? Are you Christian by any chance?
Yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah, I'm Catholic.
Isn't it upsetting that nobody in the United States cares about Christian Arabs?
Well, it does, but don't forget, this country does not care about the religious. This country, like we say in our language, doesn't believe religious. What they care is about the power.
Money. Money and power.
They want to control the world. Okay, I know they pay attention more to Jewish. They create Jewish You say the Bethlehem has been under siege. It's been under siege from 1948 when they took over.
Right.
The bad part is it's not to put the blame on America. Put the blame on Arab themselves, the leader. That's one.
Well, I agree.
The second thing is their own Palestinian. Okay, they are two group against each other.
Yep.
How do you expect them to return their land? This is not going to happen. This is
You're right. The
benefit for Israel. Like they say, my enemy's enemy is my friend.
Right. You're right, Khaled. I'll tell you the biggest problem we have. You're absolutely right. Even though American Christians are like in la-la land, they don't even know what the heck is going on. The truth is, you're right, it's our fault. Because how is it that we've been in this country since the middle of the 19th century and we can't win the argument? We have the argument on our side. The only reason we don't is, like you said, we're divided. We fight with each other more. We have fanatics in our community, extremists, small groups of extremists, that you say anything they don't like, they attack you because they find it easier to attack another Arab than it is to attack the real enemy, which are the people that are destroying our lands, not just in Palestine, but all over the Middle East. And they let the dictators get handpicked by the West since World War I. Handpicked, every one of them, put in place by us, Saddam Hussein, put in place with the help of the United States, backed by the United States, until we decided we didn't trust him and we wanted him out, and he failed to win the war against Iran. And we wanted oil. So you're right. I mean, we live in a world that's hypocritical. But what do we do about it?
Well, we do about it, like I say, we can't do nothing. If their own people, they cannot. See, you cannot go fight for somebody else. The first start, yeah, they have to start from inside. Okay?
Yep.
People inside the Bethlehem, they got to start it. Don't forget, there's not too many Christians in the Middle East. Plus, the leader in the Middle East, majority of them, they don't like Christianity.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they say they tolerate us, but, you know, they treat us pretty badly. We're not allowed to talk about that, by the way. You know, the way we're abused in the Arab world. Christians are abused in the Arab world, and we're never allowed to talk about it. We should be allowed to talk about it, because, you know, if you have the flu, how do you get rid of the flu if you pretend it doesn't exist, right? So the Arab world should be talking about the abuse that Christians take in the Arab world, but still not in the context of politics, because no one abuses the Christians more than the Israelis. We actually lose land to the Israelis, not to the other Arab countries.
A while ago, there was an article in a magazine saying the leader in the Middle East, they want to kick all the Christians out. The only country stood up against it was France. France does not want that because France got big hand in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And no matter what, as long as there is a Lebanon, France alive, never ever is going to be, they're going to change the constitution, or they're going to let the Muslim be the leader in Lebanon. That's not going to happen. Because that's the only country would not allow it. I know in Lebanon they are less than 50%. Islam is more. Okay, but they want to take over, but that's not going to happen. But a while ago, the 1970, there was an article. Actually, it was not an article, but they found out, they came to the world, was four leaders in the world was Jamal Abdel Nasser. I don't know if you hear about it. Was the Egyptian president, King Fahd, the guy now his father,
right?
Gaddafi and another leader. I don't remember who was it. They were trying to get all the Christians out of the country, out of the Middle East. You know what? If you look at it back, Christians are. This is Ireland. Middle East, Christ was exist with the Christianity. Okay, this is Ireland, just like the Chaldean. Iraq is Ireland.
Yeah, I think the Christians should get more respect in the Middle East. And I understand the Chaldean complaints against the Arabs and some of the right-wing Muslims. It's not all Muslims, though, because, you know, honestly, it's not all Muslims. It's not even the Islamic religion.
I put the blame on one person, he can change the country. Now look at the Gaddafi. Gaddafi, he was a dictator. That guy, when he came to the power, you know what he did to all the Christians? He told them, he gave them two choices. Either you leave the country or you become a Muslim. Now what? What happened? I seen it in my own eye in 1971 in newspaper. The one who rejected him, he made them dig their own grave. And I seen it on the picture. Their body was covered all the way to the neck, only head showing. Okay? And no one from Middle East, no one from those leaders in the Middle East did anything.
Yeah. And listen, Khaled,
I'm sorry. There's only one person. He can change. Like I said, those dictators, when they come to take over the power, they stay for a long time. They do change. That's why we don't need dictator anymore in the Middle East.
I think you're right. Khaled, listen, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I appreciate it. See, I think Khaled makes a good point. And it's not about being anti-Muslim or anti-Islamic. It's about identifying people who are doing the wrong thing. Because I tell you what, Christians are oppressed in the Middle East. Number one, by Israel. Number two, by the Arab world, by the Arab leaders who use them. I mean, let's face it, Hafez al-Assad and Bashar al-Assad, they quote-unquote protected the Christians in Syria for one reason. They wanted to use them as pawns. Saddam Hussein did the same thing, at least for a while. When he thought that it would be to his benefit, he controlled and tried to protect them so that he could build his power base. But any time anybody did something he didn't like, he didn't care whether you were Christian or Muslim. Saddam Hussein could have cared less. He didn't care whether you're Christian or Muslim. All he cared about was himself. And that's the problem with the dictators. They use the Christian and Muslim issue to keep us polarized and keep us fighting with each other. But there's no reason why we should fight with each other. We should work together to acknowledge the truth that there has been oppression of Christians in the Arab world. And we need to correct that. And we need to do the right thing. That's what we're talking about, being reasoned. It's not about being anti-Muslim. When some people call up and say, oh, the Muslims treat Christians bad. You know, I know, not everybody is a public speaker. What they should be saying is that there are some leaders and some groups that treat Christians bad in the Arab and Muslim world. And, you know, it's mostly most of the oppression comes from non-Arab Muslim countries in Asia, where Arabs are really abused, where Christian Arabs, and it's really a religious versus secular thing. So it's not like they target Christians on purpose. You know, it's a secular thing for some of them, for some of the extremists. 248-557-3300. Give us a call. I think we lost Ali. He didn't give me a buzz. I'm not sure. He's been busy lately writing columns for El Arabiya. I write for the Saudi Gazette. And I'll tell you, they never censor me, by the way. They let me write what I want. And the Saudis, I'll tell you what, they just want to keep their kingdom together. But they're big champions of the Palestinian cause. They're very strong, vocal critics of the Syrian regime. There's no doubt about that. A lot of the Gulf states look at Syria because Syria has aligned itself with the Iranians. And the and when I say Iranians, I don't mean the Iranian people. Well, the people in Syria and Iran have no say, like the rest of the Arab world. The people are not involved, but it's the governments. The Syrian government has aligned itself with the Iranian government, which brings us back to the original topic we started with. That's why Israel was willing to make peace with Syria, because it felt that maybe making peace with Syria would bring it a benefit of creating another wall around Iran. And that's the only way Israel acts, and the only way Israel does something. Israel's not going to do anything for the Palestinians as long as the Palestinians have their hands out, you know, asking for anything, because the Israelis don't respect peace. They don't respect compromise. They don't respect nonviolence. The only way to get something from Israel is when Israel is afraid or is concerned that something bad is going to happen, and then they'll negotiate anything. 248-557-3300 is our number. If you go to our website at radioballady.com, we got a lot of great links over there, too. A lot of neat things that you could check out. If you want, you could connect to our Facebook page. You could link to our Facebook page. You could read the columns that I write for Creator Syndicate. They get published all over the Middle East. You could listen to some of the podcasts. Radio Ballady's interview with Mon Arakat last week. A couple weeks before that, September 21st, you could listen to the interview we did with the leaders of the Syrian American organizations who are raising money and trying to support the people of Syria who are being oppressed. And you can go to our Facebook page and chat with us and share your views, because that's the only way we're going to be empowered in this country. The only way we're going to be empowered is if we stand up and we engage each other and talk about the issues. We don't have to call each other names. We don't have to, you know, criticize each other because we disagree. We should just disagree with the issue. If there's an issue you don't agree with, we could talk about it. That's what we need more of in the Arab community. That's what empowers us, the ability to tolerate and talk about different issues. It's not easy to do, especially for people that have lived under oppression. Let's be honest. The majority of Muslims and the majority of Christians have all been victims of dictators and tyrants in the Middle East. It's not like we're treated any different. It's the dictators who play the game with us and tell us that one group is good and one group is bad. So we get conditioned like that. We bring that back to this country, and we live in this country, and it's easier for example, I know a lot of Christian Chaldeans complain about Muslims all the time. It's not about Muslims. It's about the leaders who have been playing us, playing politics with religion. That's what they've done. Because I tell you, some of the strongest defenders of Christian rights have been Muslims and have stood up for Christians. And the same thing goes for Christians who have done so much to stand up for the Arabs and to stand up for the Muslims. We've had more good people in our communities than the handful of bad people. And that's how we have to recognize it, that this isn't a Christian-Muslim issue. This is about us recognizing a problem and addressing it and talking about it and not being afraid to talk about it, because we've been conditioned by the dictators not to have free speech, not to talk about things that are important. It is 27 minutes after the top of the hour here at Radio Ballady at WNZK AM 690 Radio. 248-557-3300 is our phone number. I want to hear what you have to think and say about any topic out there taking place in the Middle East. Even did you watch the debate between Joe Biden and Ryan last night? You know, I was bored, to be honest with you. I don't think either one of them is going to do anything to fix our economy. And they're certainly not going to do anything to address the problems in the Middle East. Although, finally, I guess, politically, they started talking about Afghanistan. This is the news media, by the way, in this country that's collapsing. They're really having problems, the American media. They're going through some bad times. When the economy's bad, they're having some tough times, and they're the biggest promoters of hate. It's not Muslims hating Christians or Christians hating Muslims. It's the media that hates Arabs. And I'll tell you, they don't know the difference between any of the Arabs. And the other thing in this country is most Americans, when they look at you or me, if they see a Muslim Arab and a Christian Arab standing next to each other, they can't tell the difference between us. So why should we tell the difference? They can't tell the difference. Why should we then act out their prejudices against ourselves? So we need to talk about the issues, but at the same time recognize that we're all in it together. We face the same hurdles and the same discrimination. It is 29 minutes after the hour. Our website is radioballady.com. We're going to take another break, And hopefully when we come back, we'll take some more phone calls at 248-557-3300. Give us a buzz and let us know what you think. I'm Ray Hanania. We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's Makluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouleh, Hummus Mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Baladi for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Baladi. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100.
SevilleMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SevilleMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SevilleMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the songs of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. Go to SevilleMedia.com.
And welcome back to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number, 248-557-3300. I'm here every Friday morning, just kind of changing the focus a little bit of the 8 to 9 o'clock hour on WNZK AM 690. Every week, the program here is hosted by Layla El-Husseini, good friend and partner with me, who does a great job with Good Morning Michigan. She hosts that every Monday through Thursday at 8 o'clock. You should be listening. We should be supporting our community. A lot of great programs out there, too. We should always be supporting everybody, ensuring that we get our voices heard and we have a good discussion and we talk with each other about the different issues we face. 248-557-3300. It's interesting, this increased tensions between Turkey and Syria. Turkey appears to be the only country willing to take on the Syrian government. And it kind of causes some conflicted feelings, because I know that a lot of Christians are upset with the Turks because of the massacre of Armenians that took place, you know, I think it was over 100 years ago. It was just terrible, and they want it acknowledged, but the Turks have never acknowledged it. During the Ottoman Empire, they basically, the Ottomans abused everybody. But you can't describe Turkey today as being the same as the Ottoman Empire from over 100 years ago. It's not that case. 248-557-3300. I think the tensions are going to continue to increase. And I'm expecting Turkey to attack Syria at some point. And I think we're going to have that. That's where the conflict is going to start from. Turkey is in NATO, And I think you're going to see the big push to drive Bashar al-Assad out or from power in Damascus. Some of the stories, like this past week, their propaganda minister, one of their aides, their spokespeople, who was always on TV, quit after he went home to his village and saw how it had been destroyed by the Syrian army. And, you know, that's the sad part about, you know, the Arab world. The only time we really care about anything is when it bothers us personally or impacts us. Because if they had never attacked his village, he never would have stood up and condemned what they were doing to the Syrian people. More car bombings in Syria. And, you know, the irony here is what's happening in Syria, is, you know, by the Syrian resistance, is very similar to what the Syrian government used to do in Lebanon. You know, they were, with the help of the Iranians, they were behind some of the worst murders and massacres in Lebanon. And it's always been an interesting thing to me, wondering, will this war in Syria ever bring out the truth, for example, about the murder of Rafiq Hariri? I was in Lebanon, and I got to see the hotel and the bomb crater that it was like, it was just unbelievable. It's like a football field and about, I don't know how many hundreds of feet deep. It was such a huge bomb. It killed Rafiq Hariri and I think a dozen or more other people that had been at the hotel. And they wanted him out and because he was too close to the Saudis. And what's very clear today, the Saudis and the Syrians never get along, have never gotten along. The governments, not the people, we're talking about the governments. The Saudi government and the Syrian government never got along. And Rafiq Hariri was always very close to the Saudi government, while Hezbollah and some of the other leaders are always taking orders from Syria. The poor Palestinians and Khaled Mashal and the Hamas, they were just kind of like little puppets and pawns, I guess, in Syria, being used by the Syrian dictators for their own personal benefits as leverage on the Israelis. They finally ran out of there pretty quick during this conflict because it was very hard for any Palestinian to stand up and defend the Syrian regime when they're massacring people worse than the Israelis. You know, when you're an Arab country and you're worse than Israel, that's pretty bad. You know, you have to sit there and you say, wow, this Arab country is doing more harm to Arabs than Israel has done. That is very bad. That is pretty darn bad. And it just, what does it say about our governments? They'll do anything to hurt our people. There's no principle. There's no red line they won't cross. They'll cross everything because they don't care. If Bashar al-Assad has to destroy every major city to destroy the rebels, he's going to do that in Syria. He will destroy every city in Syria if he has to. Not any of the Alawite cities. Only the cities where the Sunni Muslims live, predominantly all Arab Muslims, and where some of the Christian activists live, although a lot of Christian activists in this country are defending the Syrian government. It's an interesting thing how all the sides have laid out, and I wonder if one day maybe we'll have somebody that will analyze it and explain it to us. 20 minutes to the top of the hour here at Radio Bellity, 248-557-3300 is our number. The Turks use their military jets to force, they use their F-16s Wednesday to force a Syrian Arab Airlines aircraft to land. And after it landed, they searched the plane and found all kinds of weapons that were coming from Iran to Syria. Apparently, it just strayed over the Turkish border, and the Turks used that opportunity to bring it down. And in checking through, you know, the plane, they found all these Russian weapons that were being taken to Syria. It was a flight from Moscow to Damascus. And but there's no doubt that the Russians, who have never been friends of the Arabs, never, have always been our worst enemy. The people that are their friend, the person that's your friend, who stabs you in the back, is worse than the enemy who you fight with to your face. And I think there's an Arab saying just like that. I don't remember what it is. But it's, you know, it's a fact. And that's always been our problem. So that's, you know, one of the things that we've always had to look out for. 248-557-3300. Out in Egypt, the president of Egypt, you know, there's some good things. You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that everything is going to work out well in Egypt, because they did have elections. Democracy is never clean. True democracy. We don't even have true democracy in this country, but we're pretty close. Probably better than anybody else. Certainly far more than what Israel has. But the Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi, is trying to do his best to bring the country together. And unfortunately, all it's doing is just provoking the protesters. I think Arabs, we just like to protest. Yeah, I don't think we really want to get rid of Tahrir Square, do we, in Cairo? I think that we kind of want that to be government, you know, the street mobs, you know, to just kind of control things. And you can't do that. You have to hope that maybe Egypt will have a leader, that Mohamed Morsi is that leader, to do the right thing, to follow democracy. You know, and that means that, you know, street protesters, as much as they did a lot to overturn the dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak, at some point they have to turn over their power to the government and let the government do what it needs to do to run the country. There's some things I agree with, some things I disagree with Morsi, but that's what democracy is about. It's about, you know, he's not going to do everything we want. He's going to do most of what we want, but it'll be done the right way, even when we disagree. There's no 100%. That's the one thing I think Arabs don't understand about democracy. There is no 100%. Arabs, we love to, you know, we won't accept compromise. It's one of our big things. We cut off our nose to spite our face. If we had taken whatever we could in 1948, we would have a state today. But we said, no, we're not going to take a half a state. We want the whole state. We'll keep fighting until we get it all. And, of course, we would get nothing. Oh, look, I think we got Ali on the line. So let's bring him on and welcome him. My friend Ali Yunus, writer out in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ali, how you doing? Let's try him again, see if he's there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks, Ali.
Sure, thanks.
I know that your family issues, you've been focused on the family, which is good. You're a good family man and father. Congratulations, Mabruk, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, we were, and thank you for joining us this morning, but one of the issues I wanted to ask you about was about the escalation of tension between Turkey and Syria. What do you think is going on over there? Is Turkey trying to start a conflict, or are they just ruffling their feathers and trying to position themselves? I mean, do you think the Turks will actually lead an invasion of Syria?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so that Turkey on its own is trying to invade Syria, nor is trying to instigate a war with Syria. That's quite obvious. What I think Turkey is trying to do is try to pressure Syria and Iran at the same time, that, you know, that they cannot continue on with their way of, you know, mayhem and war against the Syrian people waged by the regime the way it is today. So Turkey, and at the same time, we're trying to send a signal to the international community that, look, you are turning a blind eye, essentially, on the countries who are supporting the Syrian regime, such as Iran, such as Russia and China, and possibly elements in Lebanon. So I think that's what Turkey is trying to do, is trying to raise the profile of the conflict internationally by stopping this plane and claiming that it had smuggled illegal weapons into Syria.
Ali, isn't it interesting, though, that in this conflict with Syria, the tension and the troubles with Syria, the real priority isn't really even Syria or making it democratic or freeing the Syrian people or taking down the dictatorship. The only priority that the Americans have, that Turkey has, that, you know, Israel has, that the region has, is the threat of Iran. Even the Saudis, I don't think they could care less about Syria if it were not for the fact that Syria was kind of a client state of Iran. Iran is like the new Soviet Union. You know, remember how the Russians used to control everything in the Arab world?
To be that way, but also I think the priority is Syria itself, but it is less priority what will happen to the Syrian people. Syria is an important country in the region. And Iran is an important country in the region as well. But what kind of Iran and what kind of Syria we want to be in the neighborhood? We want Syria that is defanged, Syria less hostile to Israel, possibly. And by the way, Syria was not hostile to Israel under Bashar al-Assad.
Right. No, he never did anything.
Of course. He never claimed that he wanted to liberate the Golan Heights.
Right.
He never claimed that he wanted to wage war or...
Wasn't he going to open up little eye doctor offices in Israel?
Countries are interested in. He wants peace, and he wants a settlement, but he wants a role in the region. That's the difference between Syria and, say, Jordan or Egypt. You know, Egypt and Jordan surrender their roles in the region. Syria wants a role. That does not make the Syrian regime more patriotic. It makes it, once it wants a role, it makes it more selfish, not necessarily for the benefit of the Syrian people or the Palestinian people. That's the only difference.
Right.
At the same time, you know, Iran, everybody's talking about Iran as the most dangerous country in the world.
Right.
I think so personally, that Iran is the most dangerous country in the world. And I don't think Iran is interested to make a nuclear bomb to commit a Holocaust against any country in the region. You know, they're not crazy. Iranians are not crazy. And
even if their leader sounds crazy.
They want to be respected as a powerful country in the world and in the region. And I think that's the problem.
Well, Ali.
The nuclear weapon?
I agree with you. I don't think the Iranian government really is interested in building a nuclear weapon. I think they want to be taken seriously, but they want nuclear energy. The embargoes that have been in place against them have, you know, hurt their economy, and they're just trying to fight back. But it is about Israel. I mean, Israel wants Iran taken out. Israel sees Iran as the biggest threat because Iran backs Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hezbollah is Israel's biggest, I guess, challenger, most strongest foe. And if Hezbollah and Israel went to war, Israel would feel the pain, unlike with the rest of the Arab world. If Israel went to war with the rest of the Arabs, Israel would feel nothing. But when they go to war with Hezbollah, I mean, the last war was devastating for the Israelis. They couldn't believe that any Arab could stand up to them and pound them as hard as the Israelis have pounded civilians over the years. So it is Iran. But you're also an observer, a good observer of what's happening in Jordan. Where does Jordan fit into all of this? What is happening to Jordan? It's almost like they don't exist anymore. Does Jordan exist? Are they still there?
Well, of course they don't exist anymore. Jordan in the past, you know, several years, you know, has taken an extreme position, that is, to be an ally of the United States and its policies in the region without any consideration to the interest of Jordan itself. That is, to be a middle ground country, a centrist country in the region, without aligning itself to the extreme at the expense of the interest of Jordan and in the region. And that's not Jordan, you know, itself taking that position. I mean, it's not only Jordan. In the Gulf region, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, in these countries...
Well, no, but I think the Saudis, for example, are taking a strong stand against Syria because of Iran. But what is Jordan doing? How does it fit into them? To me, it seems like it's one of the only Arab countries that's trying to duck and dodge and stay close to the U.S. and stay distant from all of the conflict. Am I wrong?
You are right. But Jordan also has strong ties with Syria, regardless of the regime, just it had with Iraq.
Right.
Jordan learned from the lesson with Iraq that it lost the backing of the Gulf. And Jordan is dependent in its survival on foreign aid, mainly from the Gulf region, and it was from Iraq. It was getting free oil and the U.S. money. And Syria, Jordan buys electricity and buys water from Syria.
Why is Jordan so dependent? I always thought Jordan was the most Western out of all the Arab countries, but Jordan seems the most dependent out of all the Arab countries, the least willing to want to stand up and, you know, pop its head up above the rest.
The regime has never built a real economy in Jordan. That is, you know, why you are dependent, because you don't have an economy
right.
that provides finances for the state.
What's the biggest industry in Jordan?
Huh?
What's the biggest industry in Jordan?
Well, there are, you know, industries are such as the mining of the potash.
Right.
There is pharmaceutical companies industry there. But all these industries, I mean, Jordanian economy is about $27 billion a year. That's less than Lebanon, which is smaller
right.
in population and is smaller in size. Lebanon is 4.5 million people. Jordan is 6.5 million people. Yet its economy much smaller. But also the Jordanian government in itself structurally is not interested in building an economy and retaining the brain capital of the Jordanian people. Jordan always interested in sending the Jordanian, whether Palestinian, East Bank or West Bank or Jordanian citizens outside to the region or to the West so they could work and send money. And this way it absolves the country from building factories, say, or roads, or infrastructure, or economy, a real economy, that is. You know, Israel is 6.5 million. It has an economy bigger than that of Egypt. And because it has built an economy. Jordanian government is not interested in that. And they just appointed a prime minister who is the fifth in 2 years. And it has a problem with its election vote and laws. It has a problem with whether it wants to be a democratic country and can continue to be a Mukhabarat state. So it's a lot of problems. And I don't think the Gulf region is interested in having Jordan be a democratic state, that is, in electing a prime minister still under the monarchy, which everybody wants to be in Jordan. But yet, it's not really interested to be a real country with a real economy in the real world today. It seems to me that the Jordanian regime is content to continue to survive on the largesses of Qatar, given Jordan $1 billion there. Saudi Arabia will give $1 billion for its budget, and U.S. provides $650 million a year for its budget, and provides, of course, water projects, road projects, free food for Jordanian government.
So the Jordanians are like on welfare, international welfare, basically.
It is a country on welfare.
Yeah, it is. Maybe they get food stamps and that other stuff. Listen, one of the other things is the government itself seems very, I wouldn't call it very democratic. How often do they have prime ministers? You know, they're not elected. How often do they have new prime ministers in Jordan? I think you just wrote about.
Yes, in the past 2 years, this is the fifth. But I want to make something clear. The role of the prime minister in Jordan is not to really govern the country.
Right.
The prime minister of Jordan normally is a fall guy. That is to take the blame for the
right.
king. If there is a riot, the king will fire the prime minister
right.
and a new one. If there is an economic up-downs or something, we'll fire the prime minister. If the king wants to mend relations with Iraq, he'll hire one who's with close ties to Iraq or the Gulf or America or Israel, or whatever reason. So he hire and fire the prime minister, you know, basically every 6 months. So in the past 90 years, you look at the ratio of prime ministers in Jordan, you see the highest the shelf life of a prime minister in Jordan was like about a year and a half max, which is very few. And the shortest was a few days. So it ranges between 2 months, a few days, 6 months. The latest one was about 5 months. And this one is specifically brought to power to pass the new elections, which is coming up in Jordan without the Muslim Brotherhood participation, and based on one vote system, which is a lot of people in Jordan think that it is discriminatory against the native Palestinians, or Jordanians, that is, the Jordanian citizens of Palestinian descent, because it marginalized them. It gives them, although they are about half of the population, conservatively speaking, but yet their representation in the parliament is about maybe currently 17 members of the parliament out of 120.
Well, is that let me ask you a question. Is because
upset, not because they want to be more Palestinians,
right,
but want to be have fairer representation in the parliament because they are Jordanian citizens, and you know, for third or fourth generation, and they are a pillar of the economy, and they are the biggest contributor of the tax base in Jordan. And for example, the Jordanian budget, the public payroll of the Jordanian bureaucracy is $4 billion. And that is solely comes from, according to estimates, from the Palestinian tax base. That is in Amman and Zarqa, where the Palestinian population is concentrated. So they are contributors to the budget, which is about 90% of the Jordanian budget, yet they have very small representation in the parliament.
Now, is that the fault of the Palestinians, though, to not have representation, or is the Jordanian system set up so that that people don't get to vote? You know, is it one man, one vote in Jordan, or is there some, do they divide it into districts where they crowd all the Palestinians, they gerrymander, you know, elections? Why is it that Palestinians don't have a larger voice in Jordan's government?
Because the district in Jordan are set up as such. Amman has equal representation as a small province in southern Jordan, let's say Amman or Karak, who have, let's say, a population of 100,000.
Right.
Amman has 2 million people. Yet so, it has equal votes, equal representatives in the parliament as Karak, which has 100,000.
So, in other words, the distant remote regions, which are pure Jordanian, have equal voice to these big regions in Jordan, in Amman, Jordan?
Has more voices. Let's say each one has four representatives. Amman will field four, which has 2 million people, and the majority are Palestinian, and Karak will have four.
You should write something on that, Ali. I think that would be a good topic.
I've written two major research columns, one called Jordan House Divided, and the other one was the struggle for power in Jordan. They are both published by noted websites in the country on foreign policy, and at the same time, they are published by alarabiya.net in English. It's Jordan House Divided. I detail the constitutional problem within the Jordanian regime, legal and political structure, and why there is a problem between East Bankers and West Bankers. And by the way, there is no difference between Jordanian and Palestinians.
Right.
They are the same people.
Right.
There's no ethnic groups, no religious, no linguistic, nothing. But the problem is that Jordanian regime is following a policy that is divide and conquer. To make the Palestinians in Jordan fear the East Bankers, you know, taking over. And they make the East Bankers fear the Palestinians will take over if there's a democracy. So democracy becomes a problem for East Bankers, because they say, well, if we have a democracy, Palestinians will eventually rule, become elected prime minister, and we don't want that.
Right.
And that the Palestinians will also fear the East Bankers. So everybody wants the monarchy, the king, as a middle ground, as a settlement, as, you know, as someone that is, you know, in the middle of the road. I don't want either one, but I want the king. So this is the real policy within the Jordanian regime.
So the system is set up so that a minority population has the majority voice, and that's the population that King Hussein or King Abdullah can continue to control. Because it is a loyalty thing, isn't it? Jordanians and Palestinians, those are like the two big parties.
Yeah, not just the king. And I think the Jordanian monarchy, in comparison to the regional standards, it's a great system. It's not a bad system. That is, it's not
right.
Police state. It's a Mohabarat state.
Ali, listen, I have to cut you off only because we're at the end of the show. But I got to bring you back on. I think talking about Jordan would really be fascinating at some point. But Ali Younis, my guest who joined us here this morning at Radio Ballady. Allie, thank you so much, all right?
Thank you, Rick.
All right, we got to talk to you later. Everybody, remember, go to RadioBallady.com and follow up. I'm Ray Hanania. Send me some messages and emails. I'd love to hear what you think. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next Friday right here at WNZK AM 690. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You're listening.